This is WAMC's Northeast Report, late edition. I'm Brian Shields. As expected, power outages are spreading and spreading rapidly across the Northeast as Sandy makes land and the winds begin to pick up and the tree limbs begin to come down. Residents across the region are now experiencing power outages. Here are some updates. National Grid's Patrick Stella with an update on how they're handling the wind.
We're just starting to see the winds pick up here in the last couple of hours in upstate New York, and we're starting to see some outages creep up due to the heavy wind. Really, you know, at this stage, we have done everything we can to this point to prepare. I mean, over the last week, we've secured crews. We have hundreds of crews in the area now waiting to respond. The problem right now is that we have to wait until the bulk of the winds have died down before it's really safe for our crews to do a lot of restoration work. So we will go out there and we'll respond to emergency line calls at this point through the night while the winds are highest. But we really won't be able to get at some really heavy-duty restoration work until tomorrow when the storm has passed and it's safe for our crews to work. It's really just tree damage caused by the wind. I think that's really going to be our major issue is the high winds are going to be knocking down trees and tree limbs and hitting our lines and causing problems on the electric system. I think it's going to be the main issue that we're going to face.
Patrick Stella of National Grid in New York. In the lower and mid-Hudson Valley and New York's capital region, Jim Salmon of NYSEG, New York State Electric and Gas, tells WAMC there are outages now and more outages to come.
NYSEG's getting hit pretty hard. We've got over 32,000 customers without power right now, primarily in the downstate and Catskills area. And these winds are supposed to pick up appreciably overnight in those areas, gusting up to 90 miles per hour. In the Capital District area, although we don't have that many customers out of power right now, a little less than 1,000, we anticipate those numbers to climb as the wind speeds pick up to approximately 60 to 65 mile an hour gusts in the overnight period. With that type of wind, it certainly is going to cause significant damage, and certainly in a downstate area, we've seen numerous broken poles and hundreds of spans of wires down, and that's only going to get worse as the wind picks up, and I think to a lesser extent we'll probably be seeing that type of damage in the Capital District also.
Jim Salmon of NYSEG, New York State Electric and Gas. Western Massachusetts has been seeing rolling outages throughout the day. Frank Poirot is with Western Massachusetts Electric Company.
We're up to about 10,000 right now, primarily in the hill towns where the wind velocities are the greatest. If you were to look at our outage map, you would see outages from Chester all the way down to Southwick and that area there along the Connecticut border. Pittsfield, New Ashford, Lanesboro, Richmond, these are other areas that fairly high elevation and the winds are really whipping around that way there. If you were to look at the track of the storm, it's coming up and around, and these are just pretty exposed areas, so They take quite a hit from high winds. We've been responding throughout the day when the storm first started impacting our area, and we've restored about 15,000 customers since 8 a.m. this morning. We expect more damage throughout the evening because the winds are picking up, and the trees have just been, and they've been in this stiff breeze for more than 12 hours now, and they're beginning to get fatigued. So that, combined with the fact that as winds reach 40 miles an hour, our line crews have to get down from their buckets. We suspect it's going to be a night with more outages.
That is Frank Poirot with Western Massachusetts Electric Company. In Connecticut, Teresa Gilbert is with Connecticut Light and Power. She has this update.
Right now, just over 164,000 CLMP customers have been impacted by Hurricane Sandy. Crews from CLMP and crews who have come in from across the country to assist will continue responding to these outages as long as conditions remain safe to do so. If high winds exceed 40 miles per hour, our bucket trucks will need to come down and crews will need to wait until conditions are safe to continue working. Safety is the top priority for our workers and for our customers. Based on the weather forecast, we do anticipate seeing winds in excess of 40 miles per hour this evening.
Teresa Gilbert of Connecticut Light and Power, and Central Hudson Representative John Masurgian with an update on that company's outages this evening.
At the moment, we have reports of about almost 26,000 outages scattered throughout our service territory. At this time, most of those outages are in Ulster County, but we're also seeing some high numbers in Dutchess County as well. We do expect the weather to worsen overnight, unfortunately, and this could mean additional power outages as the storm intensifies. Where we've staged our crews and also mutual aid crews, which have arrived from the Midwest, in order to address the damage and make repairs once it's safe to do so. Weather forecasts indicate that these strong winds may persist into tomorrow, and line crews, it's just too dangerous for line crews to work in high wind conditions. There's a serious risk of injuries to linemen when the winds are blowing at about 40 miles an hour plus, with possibility of wind gusts 60 miles per hour or more. So we'll have to wait until the winds die down before we can start an all-out restoration process. But during the evening and day tomorrow, we will still respond to emergency situations as directed by emergency management organizations, for example, helping to clear roads or major thoroughfares that may be blocked by fallen trees and damaged poles and lines. But we've assembled a contingent line crews about 2.5 times our normal staffing, and we're hoping to continue to receive crews during the week as the restoration process continues.
John Masurgian with an update from Central Hudson. The National Weather Service has issued a special weather statement this afternoon for this evening. It says a high wind warning remains in effect for the entire region, also a flood watch for most of eastern New York and adjacent western New England. They say this storm will be quite large and powerful. Flooding impacts. Rainfall could be excessive across portions of eastern New York and western New England, especially across the higher terrain. Damaging wind impacts. Wind gusts of up to 65 miles per hour are expected in the valleys, up to 75 miles per hour over the higher terrain. These wind speeds will result in damage to trees and power lines. Items left outdoors could become extremely dangerous. Projectiles and widespread power outages are expected. For an update now on the Pioneer Valley of Western Massachusetts, we're joined live by WAMC's Pioneer Valley Bureau Chief Paul Tuthill. Paul, what can you tell us about the Pioneer Valley at this hour?
Well, Brian, the major impact from the storm in the Pioneer Valley, in fact, really in all of interior Massachusetts, is from the wind, damaging wind, which the National Weather Service, as you just noted, says is going to continue for several more hours tonight with the potential for gusts up to 55 miles an hour. Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick, during a briefing at the state's emergency management headquarters earlier this afternoon, said so far, no major damage or injuries have been reported as a result of the storm. If there is major damage, it would likely occur on the coast caused by the storm surge during high tide. In fact, one mandatory evacuation was ordered on the south coast, and some suggested evacuations have occurred in other coastal areas of the state. Governor Patrick said he has not made a decision yet on whether state government will reopen tomorrow. Patrick ordered 60,000 non-emergency state workers to stay home today, and he encouraged schools and private employers across the state to close as well. Officials in Springfield and in Holyoke also are still assessing whether they will hold school tomorrow and open their municipal offices. Now, as far as the power outages are concerned, statewide the number of outages is climbing up close to about 300,000 customers as being reported on the various websites of the public utilities. Here in Western Massachusetts, the Western Massachusetts Electric Company is showing just under 10,000 customers without power. That's about 4% of Western Massachusetts Electric's customer base in the Pioneer Valley and also in the Berkshires. Brian?
A live report from WAMC's Pioneer Valley Bureau Chief, Paul Tuthill. Support for WAMC comes from The Lally School at Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute, a business school working to prepare innovative leaders for the global marketplace, lallyschool.rpi.edu. The Cary Conference Center in Rensselaerville, New York, presenting a forum on film censorship, including the banned film Nuremberg, November 2nd, 518-797-5100. New England Hydroponics on Route 10 in Southampton, Massachusetts, helping people bring plants to life since 2002, offering hydroponic supplies and indoor lighting for plants, anyhydro.com. Now the regional weather summary.
Hurricane Sandy is quickly moving toward the mid-Atlantic coast. It is expected to make landfall in New Jersey early this evening. The storm, though, has a much greater reach, with storm impacts that will be felt as far north as New England and that have been felt as far south as the Virginia coastline. For now, the storm is still a hurricane. As of 2 o'clock, the winds were at 90 miles per hour. The storm was about 110 miles to the southeast of Atlantic City, New Jersey, and about 175 miles south-southeast of New York City. The motion was to the northwest at 28 miles per hour, so that's definitely an indication that the storm has been picked up by this big upper-level low and is now being drawn into the Jersey coast. So we have this storm that's undergoing this process of extratropical transition, and that means that we are going to be dealing with the impacts around here as we work through the next few hours. Now, I do want to compare the storm to Irene, because certainly Irene was devastating in many parts of our area, and this is not going to be a repeat of Irene. The rainfall at this system is not going to be as heavy as it was with Irene, so even though there's going to be some pockets of rain, and there may be some localized flooding, and there is a flood watch, we are not expecting flooding to come even close to what we experienced during that storm last year. Now, this is going to be remembered as a windstorm for us, and there is a high wind warning up for the entire area into the day tomorrow. The winds will be gusting at times close to 60 miles per hour, initially out of the northeast, then turning to the southeast, and across some of our higher terrain, winds may gust as high as 75 miles per hour. So it looks to be a storm that will bring plenty of wind and likely plenty of power outages, but not as much rain as we experienced during Irene last year. It's also a big coastal flooding concern, as record levels of coastal flooding are expected through portions of Long Island and coastal Connecticut. And there is a flood warning for the Hudson River, not due to freshwater rainfall flooding, but due to tidal surge coming up into the river valley through the mid and lower Hudson Valley. So that is an issue, certainly, if you are close to the Hudson River. The storm will weaken, though, kind of stall over the next few days. So we still have wind out of the south and southeast tomorrow. And also we have some periods of rainfall to go. And as we move through the rest of the week, still plenty of clouds and showers around, though certainly the wind becomes less of a concern as the week moves along. And now here is my latest regional forecast. First, for the North Country, the Adirondacks, all of Vermont, the Southern Champlain Valley, including Plattsburgh and Burlington, and the Lake George Saratoga region, including Glens Falls. There is a high wind warning through tomorrow morning. Tonight, cloudy with periods of rain likely, very windy, low 48 to 56. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with periods of showers, windy, high 58 to 64. For the Northern Catskills, Mohawk Valley, and Southern Adirondacks, including Utica and Gloversville. A high wind warning through tomorrow morning, periods of rain likely tonight, very windy, low 48 to 56. Tomorrow, periods of showers, continued windy, high 58 to 64. For the southeastern Catskills, mid and lower Hudson Valley, and interior southern New England, including Middletown, Poughkeepsie, Westchester, Hartford, and Springfield. A high wind warning through tomorrow morning, periods of rain likely tonight, very windy, low in the 50s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with periods of showers, windy, high 58 to 64. For the Capital District, including Albany, Schenectady, and Troy, and the Berkshires, a high wind warning through tomorrow morning, periods of rain tonight, very windy, low in the 50s. Tomorrow, periods of showers, continued gusty, high 58 to 64. Region-wide on Wednesday, mostly cloudy, periods of showers, but much less windy, high in the 50s. Still some showers on Thursday with highs in the 50s. Again, wind, high wind warnings in effect through tomorrow morning. Very gusty winds are expected tonight through at least the early part of the day tomorrow. For WAMC, I'm meteorologist Garrett Argyanis.
Support for WAMC comes from Luminary Publishing, publishers of Chronogram, Chronogram Deals and Custom Publications, throughout the Hudson Valley. LuminaryPublishing.com. You're listening to WAMC's Northeast Report, late edition. We're doing a special edition tonight, all involving Hurricane Sandy and the effects of Sandy. In northern New York, the chair of the Essex County Board of Supervisors declared a state of emergency in that county as of 9 this morning. WAMC's North Country Bureau Chief Pat Bradley talks with Supervisor Randy Douglas about the move in advance of Hurricane Sandy.
Essex County is still recovering from Tropical Storm Irene, which devastated the rural county only 14 months ago. County Supervisor Chair Randy Douglas says he made the declaration after talking with the governor and the Emergency Services Director.
It gives us more of opportunity to be mobilized for public safety and those sort of things, and to do emergency contracts for removal of debris or removal of down trees and those sort of things. So it just gives us all kinds of options to move forward for public safety issues. And the state of emergency at this point does not limit travel. That's still up to the people to make their own determinations. It's up to the school districts to make their own determinations whether travel is safe. We are in constant communications with our school districts. We will let them know if anything changes where we will limit travel. But at this time, we're not doing that. We're just preparing for the worst and hoping for the best.
Does it help with getting things from a state level down to the county?
It does. Once we declare a state of emergency in a county or a local municipality such as our towns, right away they get sent to the Secretary of State, to the Governor's Office, State Emergency Management Office. Then it goes on their board. It goes on their radar that we're under a state of emergency, and they know that we might be calling for necessity items like generators or chippers or the National Guard. So, you know, after talking with the governor yesterday and state emergency management operators from the state of New York, we felt this was in our best interest to do this at this time. And I have just decided that I'm going to sign an order that all non-essential personnel for Essex County government will be shut down tomorrow. We only 24/7 operations, which means our nursing home, our sheriff's department, those sort of things will be open, but I am going to limit the amount of county workers on the road. They need to be home and make sure that their people are safe, and I've made that decision that it's in our best interest to do so.
How worried are you about Hurricane Sandy?
You know, I'm very worried. If you remember back to Irene, up until about 12 hours before, they were telling us that New York City, Atlantic City was going to get the brunt of it. And all of a sudden, it shifted just literally 4 hours before it hit us. So we are prepared as best we possibly can be. We've utilized all our town and county workforce. We plan for shelters. We plan for emergency water. We plan for generators. We plan for a lot of things. But I am very worried. I mean, they're now predicting 2 to 3 inches of rain, maybe 4 inches. We can handle up to 3 inches, I think, before the Alsaba River starts to flood its banks. But I'm really worried about the power outages with winds possibly up into the 65, 70 mile an hour range that could be devastating to us in our rural area with all the pine trees and things that we have in this wonderful North Country. The North Country, as you know, is a beautiful place, but it has a tendency sometime with Mother Nature not to be so nice to us.
Randy Douglas and Essex County officials met with Governor Cuomo, Congressman Owens, and National Guard officials on Sunday to discuss hurricane preparation plans. I'm Pat Bradley, WAMC News.
And for an update of the situation from Sandy in Connecticut, we now are joined live by Jeff Cohen of WNPR, Public Radio in Hartford. Jeff, what's happening in Connecticut this evening? What's the update there?
Hi. Well, the governor's just finished up a news briefing. He just stepped away from the podium, and he says the worst is yet to come. I think there's a bit of a sense that we dodged a little bit of a bullet in that the storm moved more quickly than had been earlier anticipated. I think that the earlier anticipation was that peak winds would have hit here around 3 in the morning, and now it looks like around 10 o'clock tonight is the peak. That said, there are still more than about 200,000 people without power right now, and electric officials down near Bridgeport, Connecticut, have just announced that because they're concerned of tidal flooding that's to come tonight, the high tide's around 10 o'clock, 10 or 11 o'clock, depending on where you are, they're going to shut down 2 or 3 substations in Bridgeport preventatively to proactively cut off about 50,000 people from their power so they can, as they say, protect the assets and make sure that they're okay, and then come back in the morning, see the damage, and then hopefully flip the switches and turn it back on in a best-case scenario.
Any word on closures tomorrow, for instance, the state workforce being told to stay home, or will it be business as usual?
The governor hasn't yet made that determination. He said he'd send out a press release when he knows.
Okay. Thank you very much. WNPR's Jeff Cohen joining us live for the situation in Connecticut, and now for the Berkshires. WNPR's Berkshire Bureau Chief Lucas Willard joins us live from the Berkshires, where the power is out in some parts of western Massachusetts. The rain has started, as has the wind. Lucas, what's the update from the Berkshires?
Brian, as you said, the rain and wind have been hitting Berkshire County for the past few hours now, beginning earlier this afternoon. The National Weather Service predicted gusts of wind in this area reaching as high as 75 miles an hour at the higher elevations. So far, the Berkshire town of Otis measured the highest with wind gusts of 61 miles an hour measured earlier this evening. Trees and power lines are down throughout the county. Thousands are without power, customers from both National Grid and Western Mass Electric Company. The rain has been steady, but earlier this evening at an emergency update meeting in Pittsfield, city and county officials said that no major flooding has been apparent in Pittsfield. In anticipation of the storm, water was drawn from Pittsfield's Onoda and Pontusic lakes, and officials said that the lakes are doing well and the rivers are also holding well. They echo the importance that if people in Massachusetts are seeking more information on the storm, to call 211 to reduce traffic on the 911 lines, which are reserved, of course, for emergencies. Emergency shelters have been opened in Adams at the Adams Visitor Center on Hoosac Street, and in North Adams, a shelter was opened at St. Elizabeth of Hungary Parish. Pittsfield, Hancock, Lee, and Williamstown have shelters on standby and have not yet determined whether they're opening them, but they are prepared. I spoke earlier also with 3rd Berkshire State Representative Tricia Farley Bouvier, who took part in a legislative conference call on the storm. She said that she and the other legislators were pleased with the ways that the utilities are working to restore power where there are outages. Much of the concern at the state level was focused on the utilities, which faced a lot of criticisms from the response from last year's October snowstorm and Tropical Storm Irene. Back to you, Brian.
Thank you very much. A live update from WAMC's Berkshire Bureau Chief Lucas Willard. And we'll have another update on Hurricane Sandy and its effects here in the Northeast at 8:30 tonight on WAMC.